What's up? Hello, this is the Hits 96 Podcast. Gino Diu here with you. And today, it's a two-for-one episode. I have two interviews with some up-and-coming country artists right here on the podcast. The first is a brother-sister singer-songwriter duo. They go by the name of Juna and Joey. They have almost 8.5 million collective views when it comes to their covers on YouTube. And their TikTok has gone viral numerous times with over 10 million views. They are both multi-instrumentalists, and we talked about all types of different things, right from the beginning of their music to where they are now. Can't wait to play this interview for you. After that interview, we'll hear from our friends over at Journey Hemp, of course, the proud sponsor of Hey, What's Up, Hello. And then we have another up-and-coming country artist that joined us in studio. His name is Colton Points. Colton's from a small town in southern Florida. He began writing music that featured mature and fully developed stories, and he blends elements of country, blues, alternative, and pop. And his goal is to create a diverse portfolio of songs that will address points of view that are not commonly mentioned in today's writing rooms, especially when it comes to country music, which is pretty cool. So, two fantastic up-and-coming artists for you to be introduced to and to enjoy. You can also check out some acoustic performances that they did. It's posted up on our website at hits96.com. So first, Juna and Joey, we take a quick break into Colton Points, and that will be this week's episode of Hey, What's Up, Hello. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hits 96, Chattanooga's number one hit music station. Gino D here with you, and I have the pleasure of sitting down with a very special guest today in our podcast studio, Juna and Joey. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Excited to be here.
Is this your first time in Chattanooga? Have you been through before?
We've definitely been through here before.
I'm
pretty sure we have.
we've
been all over
places,
the place.
Right. This is always known as, and I say this in every interview, so I'm sure Lindsay will roll her eyes, but we say this every time, it's kind of a passerby city, because between Atlanta and Nashville, people kind of just pass by. Maybe stop, get some food or something, but then they go by, and we're trying to turn that into a stopper by. So we appreciate you stopping by and saying hello to us. I'm super excited to talk with you. So you guys are a country pop duo, from what I've read, brother-sister duo, which is pretty cool. Let's talk from the very beginning. Let's just start off from the beginning. How did this kind of come about? When did you start having this idea that we're going to team up, we're going to sing together, and we're going to go out on the road and do this? Talk about the beginning.
So I started singing at the age of like 3 or 4. I was obsessed with the movie The Little Rascals. So I learned the song Love, L-O-V-E, for Frank Sinatra from the movie. And I performed it for our dad, and then he was like, oh, I got to get you into lessons. So then I started singing and playing piano, and then
I was a big sports guy.
Sure.
You know, all my life thought I was going to be, you know, the next
MLB star.
Okay.
And then I eventually went to one of her lessons, because she had been doing lessons for a long time. And I was sitting on kind of like something like this.
Someone
and she was next to the piano. And the teacher was like, so who are you? And I was like, I'm Joey. I'm her brother. She's like, so do you sing? And I was like, nah, I just sing in the shower, you know, a couple Taylor Swifts, you know, here and there. But then I went to the piano, and she was like, all right, hum for me real quick. And I started humming. She's like, you know what? I think you have something. Wow. And I was like, really? I was like, thank you so much. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then we started, you know, singing together. We actually joined School of Rock, and we were learning a bunch of instruments, playing bass, you know, guitar, all sorts of things, playing rock music. And then eventually we did that for a couple years and then split off and, you know, had our own band and was doing our thing. And
like a local rock band, and we were like 10.
Sure.
13.
Okay.
And eventually we split off from that and started doing the duo thing, and we've been doing it for a long time now, and it's been
awesome.
So much fun.
Yeah, I think when we started doing just the duo, me and Joey, is when we started writing music.
Yeah.
And then when we started writing country music, just came out naturally. Like, storytelling is just what was inside of us waiting to come out when we were writing. So that's kind of how we got into country music.
Because you guys are originally from Florida, if
I'm
not mistaken. Yeah. So I'm sure there are country roots there, but it's just kind of an interesting mix there. Let's talk about your creative process a little bit, doing the songwriting. I know you've worked with numerous songwriters before, when it comes to Nashville, of course, and New York City, and Los Angeles, but between the two of you, what's that collaborative process like when it comes to the creative side of things?
It just depends. Sometimes Juna comes up with the lyrics, sometimes I come up with the lyrics. you know, we both actually go to Berkeley, so we're both taking songwriting, and I'm actually taking a class from Steve Vai at the moment for electric guitar.
Yeah.
So, we're learning from the best people out there in Boston, and,
Very grateful.
Songwriting is so fun, just to, you know, get together with a bunch of friends and just think of new ideas.
Sure.
Yeah, we both have this thing called a hookbook, where we'll be just out and about wherever, and if we hear an interesting title, if someone says a cool, like, phrase you never heard before, like, our manager has a lot of stories, so.
Our parents and our manager, they come up with
a
lot of phrases.
We get inspiration from that, and we, like, write it down in our hookbook, and then we'll sit down and be like, do we need a fast song? Do we need some more slow songs? Do we need some rockin' dance songs? It just depends, whatever we're, like, needing at the moment.
Yeah.
And then we just kind of go from there, wherever the song takes us.
So is that kind of how it usually works? Is it maybe lyrics first before maybe a melody or something? Or?
Usually I'll pick up the guitar and get a melody going. The melody's kind of easier, I feel like, and then the lyrics. It just depends, though. It all depends.
Yeah.
I've talked to other artists before. I think M. Byhold comes to mind, and she said things would just pop into her as she's in the shower. She'll have a phrase or something, and then she just goes there, use her voice notes, and then it just blossoms. So it's always interesting to learn different artists and how they kind of approach the songwriting process. Social media has been big for you guys. I know posting on YouTube and TikTok covers were kind of how you gained your popularity. What is your viewpoint on social media nowadays?
It's so amazing.
And then at the same time, I get it. So yeah, talk about social media a little bit and how important it is to you guys.
It is very important to us. It's, like you said, that's how we got our start on YouTube. We were gaining like 200 plus subscribers a day just from like posting our videos. We would record the song and then make videos in like our home. We would get a little like, kind of like a little podcast going, and then we would film.
Right.
And then we, once TikTok kind of blew up, then we started posting videos on TikTok, and then Instagram we always just had to post on and stuff.
Yeah, it's just hard to come up with content nowadays, you know, just to make it unique.
It's like a full-time job.
Yeah, it's a full-time job.
It absolutely is. It's a whole other beast at this point.
It is a beast.
And that was my next question, is balancing between being a musician and a songwriter and taking that serious versus being an influencer. Because, right, you have, there's so much pressure on both sides. We even feel it here at the radio station. It's like, you know, they want us to be on the air and they want us to hit a certain standard, but at the same time, like, oh, but can you post about it?
Yeah.
So, well, I'm trying to do a radio show, or vice versa. So what is that? How do you guys make those decisions on what gets posted, what doesn't?
Yeah, it's like, can you sing, write, do all this, but then post about it,
sure,
and then share it to six other platforms,
right,
and then
answer all the comments,
exactly,
and make sure that
and
you're
then
reposting.
And,
oh my goodness!
All of that, yeah. But I think it's really fun to connect with our fans. Like, we did a tour in the UK for 3 months, or we did a school tour, and we have a song called Anchor about anti-bullying and mental health, and we did like a speech to a bunch of kids like all around the schools, and so we would get DMs from students all the time being like, oh, thank you so much for your song, and what you had to say today really like changed my viewpoint on a lot of things, and they just felt like connected to us through our song and our message because we're like the same age, so they feel like connected more to it. And we had so many DMs from people, and just felt really good to be able to
miss you so much and come back to the UK.
Yeah.
Just like, it was just great, you know, interacting with the kids, and they're like, oh my god, I'm never gonna take this off my arm, because we were signing.
We'd sign, they would ask us to sign, like,
and it was like life changing for them, and it was life changing for us.
So that is interesting about social media, is that you can connect with people like in the UK when you're here, so
exactly.
It's cool.
No, I definitely see the positives there, don't get me wrong, I love it, but I do like to ask the opinions, because when you're part of that game, there is that, like I said earlier, just that pressure of what do I post, what don't I post, and then trying to use that as your interactive, or then using it, you know, you don't want to post the same song over and over and over again. At the same time, yes you do.
Yes you do, exactly.
You want the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, you're supposed to do.
Exactly. So very cool. I know that you've been on major platforms as well. I know that you were with NBC. It was a musical family show or something that you guys were on. What is that experience like now? Obviously going from YouTube, now going to major platforms, performing at bigger venues. Obviously we're growing here, which is so great to see. How's that experience been?
That
was an amazing experience, to be honest. We got to meet the judges. We met a couple of friends up there, and it was just cool being in LA. And
that was our first time over there, so that was really cool. And then we got to like the green room and like the whole big set, and we were like, whoa.
And we were on TV too. That was kind of crazy.
We were like, it's so funny because we were like, I mean, I'm gonna speak for myself. I was super nervous, like being honest. Like, and before we went on stage, but as soon as I went on stage, I was like, everything was chill, and I wasn't nervous anymore. And then we just kind of blacked out. I blacked out a little bit when I was singing. But then we watched it back and I was like, okay, it was good. Like, yeah. I didn't remember because I was so, like, excited. There was just so many emotions. But, yeah, that was a really cool experience to be able to do
that. Yeah, we got some constructive criticism from the judges, too. So, mm-hmm. you know, it was like, it was
a learning process,
a learning
too,
process, yeah.
Yeah, I was just curious because it must be so different doing something in your own little podcast studio or whatever
yes.
on YouTube, and it's just like, okay, I can post this and I don't. But then all of a sudden you kind of let go of that control, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have a little more control and then you're letting it go, and obviously they're the professionals, so let them do what they have to do.
Yes.
But I can imagine that can be some type of maybe a little bit of a struggle or kind of just like, okay, well, I'm going to black out and just, I'm going to sing my song and you guys do the rest.
Yeah.
You mentioned the anti-bullying thing, which I think is fantastic. You guys seem to be very active in doing different roles, using your platform for good. I know you're ambassadors for some climate change, an organization. You host your own food drives. So was that something you guys did before the music, or why did you decide to do those campaigns and to kind of use your platform for causes?
Well, my dad owns a produce market, so
we've
kind of been with the veggies all of our life.
The veggies.
But
we do the food drive out of there, out of his business.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the music kind of inspired us to, you know, work with some of those organizations and push a good cause, because we noticed how much, like, of a growing and a following we were getting. We wanted to use it for a good reason. We wanted to, like, help people through bullying, because that's something we experienced a lot at our schools when we were in school,
mm-hmm.
or like in middle school and high school. So we wanted to, you know, be the anchor for those people that don't have it, which is what our song is about. It's about having that person, which is we call the anchor, that you can go to and you can talk to and open up about things that you're going through in school and stuff. So we wanted to be that person.
Yeah,
so people that didn't have it, like, especially like in the UK, like I was
sure.
saying, like anywhere, it doesn't matter. Like, we have that platform where you can reach out to us and talk to us.
It's always you know, like a cause that's going on, and I don't know why it is. You
yeah.
know, it's not right to, you know, make fun of somebody.
Yeah.
Right.
We're all here.
We're all human.
Yeah.
We're all human,
like
exactly. And it's nice to have music with a message. I think it
yes.
goes a lot further when you can reach out to someone and actually prove a point, or when you're talking about a cause that somebody cares about, something that they can connect with and
yes.
be related to. I think it's a huge deal. So kudos to you guys for kind of knowing that already and being able to use your platform as it's growing and trying to promote yourselves and doing the TikToks and all of that, but also to find some good out of that. I think that's a fantastic thing that people enjoy seeing, and a reason that people can get behind an
yes.
artist that's especially up and coming. So how can people are always watching this video on our social media channels, but how can they reach out to Juna and Joey?
You can find us on pretty much all streaming platforms for music and social medias. We have all of them. Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Twitter, or X. And
it's always changing.
Yeah, I know. It's Juna and Joey, Juna, the letter N, Joey.
Yeah, we get a lot of, you know, other mistakes like Tune and Toey and
Juan
and Joni,
and Juna
and Joni.
Like,
and just like, but like, our CEO is pretty good. Like, I don't know, because here's the thing.
Yeah.
Her name's actually Juliana, but
mm-hmm.
you know, when I was really young, I couldn't say her name, so I was like, all right, Juna, and you know,
that
kind
of came about.
Where that came
yeah.
about. So
cool.
If you were wondering why. Her name's Juna, that's why.
If
yeah.
you're wondering why my name's Juna.
Well,
I've never heard that one
Why
before.
Is your name the way it is?
No, but there's a little story there.
Yeah,
little
yeah.
story, story of how that works out. So it just goes to prove the more the connection of the brother-sister growing up together and being able to do music together. I think it's all fantastic. And of course, we'll link up on our website too, so people can go to a nice one hub of information for everything Juna and Joey. Appreciate you coming in and visiting us here, and hopefully you enjoy yourself here in Chattanooga.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right,
for having
thanks,
us.
Guys.
Journey on the River and Journey Hemp offers a wide range of high-quality, 50-state legal products. They have everything from tinctures and hemp flower to vaping products and edibles. Speaking of edibles, they have a delicious selection of gummies, brownies, infused slushies, and infused drinks. And if you're in need of smoking accessories, they've got you covered with a full line of options. But it's not just the products that make Journey Hemp special. Their staff is incredibly knowledgeable and friendly, ensuring that you have a great experience every time you visit. Plus, they're open 7 days a week, so you can stop by whenever it's convenient for you. They even have a loyalty program to reward you for your continued support, with two locations to better serve you, on the North Shore, next to the Walking Bridge, and in St. Elmo. So why wait? Your journey to wellness and relaxation starts there at Journey on the River and Journey Hemp in St. Elmo.
Hits 96, Chattanooga's number one hit music station. Gino D here with you. And once again, we have a special guest joining us in our little podcast studio here. He goes by the name of Colton Points. How are you doing, Colton?
Good. Thank you for having me. Really
Absolutely. Thank you for doing this. It takes some time out. You are on the cutting edge right now of country music.
Well, I'm certainly trying to be. I'm trying to keep up with everything, you know, definitely.
Is this your first time in Chattanooga?
It is.
Oh, it's a wonderful city. You have to, if you have some time, I'm not sure what your schedule is. I know you're only from living in Nashville now, so you'll be able to come back. But if you do, get to explore it. Lots of great venues, restaurants. We have it all here. It's a little Nashville, people think they call it.
Yeah, that's so, what I've heard. Yeah. I heard it's the weekend destination. So.
Yes, yes. It's a very cool place, and we're happy to have you here. So you have a song out right now called Magnolia, which is your promoting. We're going to get into that. But I thought, since we're just getting to know you, let's start from the very beginning. I know you've been doing this music thing for a handful of years now, but kind of let's start from the very beginning. How'd you kind of find your voice? How did you know that you had this talent, and how did it all begin?
Yeah, well, I've been playing piano for about 10 years, and I went down to a local pub where I'm from in Florida called Ave Maria, and I'd asked the owner if I could go play there on Sundays, and it was a small Catholic town, and so after church I would go out and play on Sundays and stuff, and one day the owner saw me playing and he's like, I need to introduce you to my son. He's back there washing dishes. Like, he's a singer.
Sure.
And so I got involved with him. Him and I, you know, started kind of as a duo. We brought in a drummer. His name's Michael Joyce, who came up with the idea for Magnolia.
Okay.
And we started, you know, gosh, we were playing the pub in Ave Maria for 20 people. And from there, in 3 years, we went from doing that to the White Sox National Anthem and opening for Eli Young, Chris Jansen, all that stuff. So, I mean, it's just been like a roller coaster, you know, the first 3 years.
Sure.
But, you know, through all that time, I had never written up until the point of being in the band. I actually never even listened to country music up until that point of being in the band. And so, I mean, getting to know him and getting to know, you know, being around country music, I realized there was such an opportunity, especially with the piano, which is, you know, my main instrument.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody comes in with the guitar, and I was like, maybe that's a way to differentiate myself a little bit, you know, have the piano center stage.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, especially in the country music world, because if I'm not mistaken, it's not necessarily done often.
No, and that's what's, you know, it's featured in a lot of songs, mm-hmm. and that's what makes it really special, is because, you know, I mean, how many times, even like 90s country, especially like Tim McGraw, something like that, how many iconic piano licks there are,
right?
You know, or The Dance by Garth Brooks, you know, I mean, just like there's so many great iconic things that can be done with the piano. And so my hope is to take it from sort of the side stage and bring it front and center.
I like that. I like that a lot. Do you remember the actual moment, or maybe the performance, or maybe it was just you hanging out with some people and it finally happened, and it was like, wow, I can actually probably do this, or try to do this professionally. Do you remember that moment?
Oh, man, you know, that's probably the Eli Young band was like, that was the big one.
Yeah.
Because those guys are great. And we had, that was the biggest show that we had ever done. And it was like probably 2 years ago now that we did it. And it was like 2,000 people there. It was a sold out show at the ranch in Fort Myers. And it was, we were a 3-piece band at the time. We didn't even have a bass player. And so it was basically me like covering the whole sound on the piano. I sang harmony, and we got the lead singer and a drummer. And everyone just loved us. And the Eli Young band were so impressed, they invited us on the tour bus afterwards. That's and we're like, dude, like, let me take your number. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
let's connect. And even after I left the band, you know, I still stayed in contact with them. And, you know, they were like, hey, man, when are you moving to Nashville? And I really was like, wow, okay, I got a lot of people that really believe in this.
Yeah,
you know, so yeah. that was probably the main moment.
It's gonna be good. That confidence boost. That's something. You know, I'm gonna do this. I get it.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Very cool. Your music has been described as featuring mature and fully developed stories. Kind of, you craft a narrative in your songs. Talk about your songwriting process. What influences you? How you go about it? Is it medley first? Is it lyrics first? What kind of hits you when you?
I usually end up just going for everything at the same time. I find it's easier. Usually, I found that as long as I'm in the right key, the melody will come along. If I have the right melody, the words will come along. And so I usually, it's just kind of that tier. But I very rarely have lyrics. I don't think I've ever just had lyrics then put melody to it afterwards.
Okay.
It's always kind of been at the same time, and usually I'm a huge fan of writing it all in one sitting, and just, I'm a firm believer that like what happens in that session is what's meant to be there, and not that you never change
sure.
a word or anything here and there, but I never go back and like rewrite lines or anything. I always just I think I'm just a vessel for the energy in the room, and
yeah.
if it's meant to be there, it'll come out, and that's it.
So in that natural state, just go for it and see what happens.
Yeah, and I always try to storyboard a little bit, which helps me, you know, write, you know, usually this comes in handy in the second verse, especially,
mm-hmm.
after I kind of get the chorus down. Once I know where the story's supposed to go, like Magnolia, like I knew that she was going to come back with the flowers,
mm-hmm.
so it's like, okay, now how do I get there, you know, so.
When it comes to that, is it based on personal experiences when you tell these stories, or are these stories that you're making up, or sometimes...
I like to,
on the song.
Yeah, I like to create characters because I have a really hard time writing about myself. It's just
right.
really weird, and I worry that people aren't going to be able to relate to it because it's me. And so I'll take a feeling, or something, and then I'll just expand it and then create the characters, you know, and especially because I'm writing country music, I don't wear boots and stuff. So sometimes I'll create a character that would wear boots, and it makes sense in the song to do the things that they would do versus someone like me. So.
Okay. Well, it's funny because, and I've talked to different artists about this too, they love it when people will take a song and you'll have a certain meaning or story that you're trying to tell, but somebody else will take that and have a completely different perspective on it and say, actually, I use this song to talk about whatever they're going through, whatever other struggle. And I know that will be, that's kind of, it has to be a surreal moment when somebody can hear the lyrics to even Magnolia, and you might have a certain thought behind it, but somebody else is going to come and say, no, I think this, but that's okay.
Yeah, and that's what's, I mean,
the beauty of it.
All the greatest songs in history, like Hotel California, for example, that's just a super famous one, but they're meant to be interpreted in their own way. You know, I have a song called Whiskey Can't Heal Broken Hearts, and obviously it's about, you know, that it's time and not whiskey, and, you know, that's what's supposed to help you get over things, you know, especially tough times in your life, but it doesn't need to just be about whiskey. It can be about anything. You know, it's a universal message. So.
Very cool. You also like to navigate blending all different genres of music, country, blues, alternative, and pop. Why do you do that? Talk about that want to blend those elements.
Well, that's where I think the uniqueness is. I mean, it's just like, even if you go to school and you're getting a degree, you know, it's all about like the interdisciplinary function of going to school. I mean, like the double major is the future. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about combining disciplines. So I guess, especially with, like we were talking about how country music is evolving, it's all about, okay, I have a country idea, but how do I make the production different? What are the things that influence me? Like Hardy, for example, like his is all rock, you know, Morgan Wallen's is all pop, Old Dominion pop. So that's the future of country music, is, you know, taking the idea but then expanding upon it and then adding the influences.
Yeah. And you're gonna catch such a bigger net to catch to the audience. You're gonna be able to create those sounds that are like somebody's looking for that pop sound, but then, oh wow, if it's a country blend, then now I can go to look for those other artists. So I completely agree with that direction. And I do think it is the future of country, whether people like it or not.
Yeah,
that's the direction it's going. But I think it's a good thing ultimately for the genre. Let's talk about performing a little bit. I know you said you've opened up for Eli Young and Chris Jansen and a few others. What do you hope audiences take away when they see you perform?
I hope that they can walk away and say, I haven't seen something like that, at very least in a long time. A lot of my piano influence comes from like Jerry Lee Lewis, you know, there's a blues pianist who lived in New Orleans for a long time. His name is Professor Longhair. And my uncle, you know, used to love him. And so, I mean, my goal is to bring back some of that energy, that electricity that some of those guys had on stage, and just the idea of, like I said, having the piano in the middle.
Sure.
I stand up whenever I play keyboard as well, so I get to move around a lot more.
Okay.
But when I used to sit down when I was in the band, I mean, I used to put my foot up on the piano and the whole thing, you know, the full Jerry Lee Lewis trick. And so that's the main thing. And I hope that people find that the arrangements and the music is exciting. Since I've been in a band for so long, I've really learned, you know, what sounds good out there. Mm-hmm. Versus just like, you know, in the studio or whatever, and how to kind of take it up another level, how to have a really tight band, you know, so that's probably the main thing.
All right, very cool. Well, we're going to get into Magnolia. We'll probably do that in a separate video because I know you're going to perform for us. We're super excited about that. I want you to talk about the song behind, the story behind the song and all of that. We'll get into it. But more or less, to wrap up this interview, what is the main goal for you? What are we working on? What can we look forward to the future? Obviously, Magnolia is out. You have a couple other songs. I know that you're doing a bunch of shows, handful of shows in Nashville, trying to perform at all times. But what is the main goal for Colton Points?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, having success in music is a big thing.
Yes.
One of the things that I've been really passionate about, my mom, it was the second song that I'd ever written. It was a song called God's Heartache on Sunday. And it's one that I've been kind of keeping in the vault for a rainy day
sort of
thing. But my mom was bullied when she was in high school. And it's one of those things where it's like either you went through it or you know somebody who's gone through it. And hearing my mom talk about it, it just like really struck a chord with me. And so I ended up writing this song called God's Heartache on Sunday. And I come from a Catholic family, and so that was always a big influence in my life. And I wanted to start a foundation at some point called the God's Heartache on Sunday Foundation.
Sure.
And I wanted to be able to help kids who, you know, weren't as fortunate in life and didn't have all the same opportunities that I had gotten when I was young, and who still wanted to do music or like wanted to do sports. You know, those were two things that kind of always felt like kept my life together. No matter what was going on in the
mm-hmm.
outside world, I was like, I could always turn to music, I could always turn to sports. And I want kids, you know, who are really passionate about either of those things, want to do well in school, like, I want to be able to help them achieve their dreams and at least have a shot, like I feel like that I'm getting now. You know, certainly at this point in my life, with all the people coming around me, the most important thing to them, which I'm so grateful for, is their number one goal is that I get at least a chance to do this. Mm-hmm. And I'll never take that for granted. And I want to make sure that other kids have that same opportunity.
Very cool. So taking your talents and obviously using your own goals, but also using that platform for to help out a cause, which is...
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's fantastic. Colton, thank you so much for dropping by today and doing this with us.
Oh, gosh, thank you for having me.
On Hits 96. Thanks for joining me, man.
Thank you so much for having me.
This has been Hey, What's Up, Hello, the Hits 96 podcast with DJ Kevin Hayes and Gino D. Make sure to follow us on all social media and to like and subscribe. Please note that the views, opinions, and content expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the views, opinions, or policies of Bayhackle Communications.